Better now.
Yeah.
Right. Now she's gone now.
Is she?
Yes.
How long does it go?
Well, it'll last anything up to about half an hour.
Will it?
Mm-hmm. The tapes.
Yeah, well...
well, what's your full name, Mr. Clark?
John Edward.
John Clark. Edward.
Mm. And it's spelt with an E. I was out in the port with some Irish students, and they said to me, how is your name spelled with an E or something? And I said, with an E. He said, I was out getting what you call it, plankton for them, you know, these students that comes over.
Yes.
And he said, oh, you bloody well ashamed of it. I said, I bloody well in any time. Because there would have been any other spelling, I wouldn't have minded.
Yeah.
But, was it?
When you first went to school, you were born in Derby Haven, weren't
oh,
you?
Oh, yes, yeah.
And,
well,
and you're 81 next birthday.
Yes. Mm. And what then?
When you first went to school, you were saying that it was a private school.
Definitely. Private. The only one I ever went to.
Really?
Yeah.
In Castletown?
Yes. And the teacher of it, she used to say that when she was teaching down in Derby Haven, she had a big farm, 6 foot, going to school in this one down here.
Yes.
Well, there's nobody in this world knows now about that.
No.
And when you're speaking about things like that, you know, they tend to disbelieve you.
Mm.
And I was talking to a fellow, I can't mention names, but he came over here, bought a house, and he met me out at the farmyard, the farmhouse out at Langness.
Mm.
And he would ask me what it had been that building, and I said, it was a farm building. I said, my grandmother lived in that house. So that was all. So about 2.5 years afterwards, he had all that time to think of it. And he had been a college student, he said, educated in the college. I met him again out there. And, I'd met him a few times, but this particular time, I met him there again.
Mm.
And he was looking at the old farmyard, the farmhouse, and the things around it. And he said to me, I always understood, he said, when I went to college, that they called this Bruce House. I said, you're right. And he said, and he looked quick to me, he said, you must be a Brew. I said, good Christ, I said, that's all you have to teach you in the college. And I took it off.
Yeah.
I avoided it never after.
Yeah.
I mean, say she could have been Chinese or anything.
Yes.
Anyway, she met Nida Clark and from the Howway. The clouds originated, I believe.
Yes. And that's up near Craignish.
That's right, aye. Yes, up that way.
Mm.
Because, you know, of all those years, you'd hardly credited my father, you know, first he got a motor car many, many years ago. I think it was Oxford Bullnose, I think they call it, being with a bob or two today.
Yes.
But he'd given me an old second-hand motorbike and sidecar, a BSI, that ran around on his old cronies and Peel around the fishermen, and where we went on a Sunday. Of course, when he got the car, he wanted me to drive that, and I took one running, and then I become a full driver, you know, in those days.
Yes.
Somebody that had one would take you out for a run.
Yeah.
And he would, if he thought you were right, just signed. All I did was when Jen's Corner, I went up around Malou, packing into Jen's Corner, he put a sign, and he said, do you want a sign for a car? He could have done. And I said, oh no, I said, I want a thing. There was a fella on the farm, you see, his name was Red Power. He was driving a tractor. He automatically, when he applied for a car, it was only £5 a week, a year, I mean.
Yes.
And it was just for the use of the road in those days. He would like to have, and I said to the old man, I said, well, get John to take you out in the car. So it was all agreed, and said, just suited John just right.
Yeah.
He could get about.
Yeah.
So, but I still took him away around occasionally. He asked me one time to take him over to Port St. Mary. So So I thought, well, he must be going over to see one of his old mates. So he directed me up, and he went up that highway, and as you turn the crossroads there, one went along the front to Port End, and one up the home, and there's a house right on the corner, and the garden was above the road. So he said, are you coming in? I said, no. I said, I'll wait out here. I thought he'd be on in a few minutes. So I sat down outside, and there was an old lady came out. And she was looking, and a bit tall, queenly looking woman, you know, it reminded me of the Queen, you know, dark haired one. Elizabeth, I can't forget her name. But anyway, she was mucking about doing this, and she was looking down at me. I was across the road. And eventually she shouted, are you too proud to come in here? I said, no. So anyway, I went in. And the old man introduced me, which is the thing, I didn't know there was a living soul in. He introduced me and he said, this is your auntie. She was a sister of his father.
Uh-huh.
And his father was drowned at sea, coming back from the fishing thing, within sight of the other man when the boat disappeared.
Really?
Boat called the Dart. Some of them, when I was working over there, remembered it.
Mm.
There was a bit of poetry about it too. But you know, I didn't think, and I thought, I'd never seen her after, actually, but I won't go into the details, but I was thinking of going over and never thing. But I thought, well, you know, see, he never seen his father. His father was drowned before he was born, three months. And I thought, Earl was a bit of a hero to me, like, talking about his father. And that's how he was lost.
Yeah.
And the funny part was, they were coming in, how many in the fleet, I don't know, but there were a whole crowd of them. And they could see all each other. And suddenly one of the one gang said, where's the Dart? So they searched around for it and couldn't find it. Could not even a stick. She's just disappeared nowhere.
Disappeared. Mm. She must have been over, just hit by a squall or something.
No, there was no squall.
No?
No, that's the mystery. You've heard of the Mary Celeste. There's probably an explanation for that.
Yeah.
Some,
what year was that? Do you know it all?
Well, they could not find out, but the thing would be this. When he was drowned, 3 months before the old man, what age he was, it could be found out.
Yes,
like.
Yes,
yeah. So, whatever year that, now he, well, I used to look at that, this way, if I'm 80 and he was 20, that's over 100 years,
yes,
you see.
Yes, it would be, yeah.
Well, it would be over 100 years ago.
It would be. And what?
But he,
and
what
father,
age he was?
What did your father do for a living?
Well, actually, he was a fisherman, farmer, and you know.
Was he
crofter
fisherman?
About,
yeah.
He'd be going fishing.
Yeah.
And of course, when they bring the harvest in, docking turnips and thinning turnips, they go and do that.
Do that. Yeah.
And in the winter time, of course, they get docking turnips and went thrashing in the winter time, I suppose. All of them worked in, you see.
And well, the fishing fleet used to be in Derby Haven a lot, didn't
they? Well, the old man said, and I can't picture it, but I know that the old man wasn't a liar. He said he could remember being able to walk almost on the decks from the beach here out to the breakwater.
Really? Mm. Yes.
And that breakwater was built, you know, for the fishing fleet.
Yes.
And I think this thing, which should have been kept intact, now they've gone and pulled it to blooming bits.
Mm.
It's still the length and the width is still there.
Yes.
But it's covered up.
Yes.
It should have been put in working order because, you know, that was no floors. It was straight up to the roof.
Yes.
And the brackets and things going up to put the kippers on, and through the center was a square like that, you know, a pit where they had the fires to smoke the kippers.
Yeah. Did they do a lot of smoking and curing the fish down here?
No, never in my time.
No.
No, you see, other boats came and Well, like the fishing, Manx fishing was nearly done out. They got bigger and better trawlers and things like that, yeah. And a quicker way of doing the kippers, and nearly broke the Manx with us.
Yes.
And not only that, but you see, Peel would start, and Castletown perhaps, both mainly kippers and fishing. Well, they became bigger ports, and this came
smaller.
Just left, I suppose.
Dwindled away,
And absolutely, you look at the back of it after, it was a majestic, a beautiful building.
Yes.
It only wanted to clean up.
Yes.
Like they've got part of it cleaned up now.
Yes.
But they haven't got the length
shown
above the walls.
No.
If they put both ends up, they could have then shown the length, because you get the breadth on this side,
right?
The wind. So somebody else the other side, then I was tearing hell out of, you know, Lady Doughty was the first one. She had it, and of course the government is, I suppose, the people pleading that they keep it like and as the show place, which was good enough, because the livelihood of the island depended on that at one time, more or less. And this one, they weren't allowed to do this and do that, and of course and finish up with it, they forgot about it and they did what they liked with it. But the pillar design more or less kept the shape of it, as you can see there. But the other end, had it been brought up, it would have looked,
yes,
they got the length as well.
Yeah.
And they're pulling it down now, as you can see.
Well, was that the, when you said you went to a private school in Castletown, was that the only private school in Castletown, or was there other schools as well?
Oh, there was other schools. There was the Tin Tab, the great, the, you know, what do you call the grammar school?
Oh, yes, yes.
The grammar school, you know, that old building.
That's right.
It was involved too.
Yeah.
But, I don't think it was, they still going towards when I was going to school. Then there was Castletown School. And
yes.
And that's the one.
And who, what was the name of the women who ran the school that you went to?
Well, there's only one. There was Aunt Lucy, Lucy Curran, her name was.
Curran, yes, yes.
Because
and you brought so much money a week to pay for
Only coppers, right?
Coppers,
I often wonder when I begin to think of it, you know, these things goes on. And it's just natural, you get your food and you get this, that and the other. You don't know where it's coming from.
No, quite.
But after, later on, I was wondering how the heck they were getting and feeding us. It just automatically came to us.
Yeah.
Well, I often thought afterwards how the ancestry did without help.
Yeah.
Managed the same as my grandmother. When the old man was born, there was no help for her. She had to go away, and she left her son with, I think, a sister, and she got the housekeeping and a cook job, and she did that for a few years, and sent the money to keep her kids so she could clean.
Yes.
And she did all that.
Yeah.
Without any help.
They were hard goes, weren't they?
Oh, and then she saved a few pounds.
Yes.
You see? And she came back to the island, and of course the old man got married and had the family. And she went and bought this building. This has been added to it after, like, we were sitting out in the yard now.
Yeah.
And that was the back door. Anyway, that was a stable. Now this is something and nobody else would know this. And that's why they kept the hounds.
Oh, yeah.
So the horses and the hounds. And those days, Bacon, I think, was a big hunt.
Or from Seafield. From Sandy.
That's right. Well, he was a mate of my grand, another grand, mother's side, Cotton. He was the last fellow in the castle when the prisoners were, in the winter time, the prisoners used to come up from Douglas.
Yeah.
They were out all the summer.
Yeah.
Visitors would be keeping them, you see, they were living on the visitors. And when the visitors disappeared, they used to go and kick a door in a window, and they all, I'd heard the people saying, and or in jail, and they'd be up to the window, and of course he would have to go and meet the train or wherever where they were coming, and they'd say to him, good morning, Mr. Corden, or good afternoon, Mr. Corden, home again.
And yeah. They were imprisoned in Castle Rushen.
Oh, well, they'd be there for the, well, there was no prison down Douglas.
For the winter.
They'd be in for the winter.
Yes.
As soon as the summer came, out again. Yeah, that seems unbelievable.
Well, when you were going to school then, you were talking about the soup kitchen that they used to have.
Well, it was only about from here across the road, a little bit further to the soup kitchen. I guess it's in the same place, actually.
Mm.
After I came out of the army, I went to the 3-year-old school.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find it. It took a little thing and been knocked down.
What street was it in originally, the school?
Well, I couldn't. I don't know if there was any blooming name on the street, actually. But I'll tell you where it was. It's the government house, you know where that was?
Yes.
The old one.
Yes.
It's a block on its own between the post office and houses on the other side, isn't it?
I see, yeah.
Well, it was right opposite that on the seaside.
Oh, yes. Yes.
This cook's place.
Yeah.
The kitchen. We were up a bit further, and where the light boat is.
Yes.
When we were playing in the ground, the light boat house was there, and about that much in the wall.
Yeah.
And the gardening. And I found and the only time I ever did do mucking about in the gardens. Sometimes we would be told to keep us out of the trouble. Like one plant a couple of flowers and things like that in the thing. And I found a groat.
Yeah.
And I had it all the time in the army.
Yeah.
It's in my kit bag, and all, because the wife used to send photographs of the kids and one thing or another. I had two wallets, and when I got to near Liverpool, got on the tram, and of course they go both ways. Gardens died and drive from both ends, whichever way they go.
Yeah.
So he said, no room downstairs, so leave the kit here behind the upstairs. When I came down at the Lock Lane there, the auntie lived up there, I said to the conductor, I said, where's my kit? Oh, he said, your mate, there's about 5 or 6 soldiers got on. I didn't know them. But I was among the group, and I was the only one with a kit, because they were, I suppose, local ones, probably. And he said, your mates, the mates took it. I said, they weren't already mates of mine. So anyway, I kept them there, he never argued, sitting there, because we'd gone through Liverpool, delivered all the things, and I sat there wondering what the, and he never think, because it's only him and I, because when he left the bus to terminus, it was only a few hundred yards down the road. So anyway, I got fed up, and I said, go on, I was thinking, Liverpool's an awful big place, and I had all this private stuff in my kit. I had 500 cigarettes, which had followed me around the blooming world.
Yes.
The auntie had sent it, and you know, I didn't get it, went out to Africa, Italy, back again.
Yeah.
Didn't catch it up on me till I got back to England.
Good.
So I put it in the kit without opening it. You see, I was going to bring it home. 500 cigarettes, and they were gone. But when I got back to my auntie's, she was living with she bred a fellow called Williams and Gertie, the rather nice big house. And Gertie, another cousin of mine, she owned the house, husband. And Lizzie, they took Queenie when she married a fellow called Williams, and he was ARP duty. And Aunt Lizzie was a red Queenie from birth, almost, because the families that her sister called the Prestons, actually, they were, they had all girls. when you go to him and family and the rest of it. And then suddenly I had twins, a boy and a girl. So Ambrosia said she'd take the girl.
Mm.
And she read. And of course, when Queenie got married and Ambrosia got old, she took her over there. She had a lovely picture there, a big one. And it was a picture of the fordown and the sheep in the evenings born out of the causeway.
Yes.
On the island.
Yeah.
Mm. I haven't wondered what happened to her.
Can you remember the Castletown lifeboat at all?
God, do I remember it? I've seen it Lawrence Street a few times.
Have you?
Mm, down here. One time it got stuck down there. Fisher's Hill, I'm going up, one of the two, I forget now, but, well, I wasn't there, but I know the commotion that it got stuck on the way down. What was it going down? Because you see, I don't think Post and Mary had a boat.
No.
And so if there was anything called out and the storm was, they would, well, they might come down to Derby Haven if the storm was out there.
And they'd get take it by horses. Did they have it hauled by horses?
Well, the wheels was about that broad. Had to be for
sand,
for sinking in sand and thing. And the pillar that was coxswain of it that I remembered was his name was Cool.
Yes.
And they launched it down that way, but the slip wasn't there then. It was just mud thing.
Yeah.
And well, I've seen out. Quite a few times, but twice I've seen a Lawrence Derby, even if it was a Douglas must have had one. But suppose the Douglas couldn't get up, the storm was at that corner, well, they'd have this one, and vice versa.
Yeah.
And oh, yes, I've seen how many they had half the bloom. District trying to get her out with horses and things when she was stuck in the snow.
Yeah.
Yes, that was a great thing then, that lifeboat. I even knew her name.
Mm.
I can't think of it. Well, you would know that.
I think it was in the 1920s that the station closed down, wasn't it?
It must have been,
1923 or something like that.
I remember it absolutely well, you know.
Mm.
And you know, there's an awful lot of people that I've often heard about, the non-believers. You tell them these things, tell them. They won't, I'll tell you one thing. You probably know the beginning of this. Who was it that handed the castle over to? I think it was Lord Raglan. He came over with a party to hand the castle over to the Manx government. You know, I've worked with, now this is the thing that people can't believe, I've worked with men that actually, older men than me, of course, was there when it was garrison town.
Really?
And these old fellows, they're sport, two big fellows now. And what the sport on a Saturday afternoon when they finished working on that work for the evening was go out, pick a couple of soldiers and have a bash up and then go in and have a booze up.
Really? Yes.
Yeah. Now, if you, an awful lot of people at home, you couldn't. It was only just say the men were 20 years old and perhaps less or more.
Yeah.
And but actually, I knew they were telling the truth.
Yeah, quite. Yeah.
But, I told them one time about, anyway, the handing over of the castle.
Mm.
And Lord Derby and his party came over. And before handing it over, he wanted to, supposed to be the king's ransom hid somewhere, isn't it?
Mm.
Well, of course, the grandfather, that was Cotton, and my mother, she would be only about 14 at the time. She was a young girl anyway, less. And she was one of the party that he went having a route around to see that. He was going to see the last hopes of mine, because once, I suppose, it was handed over to the Manx government.
They lose it.
Yeah. So anyway, they had a look, and they went down, it's supposed to be, of course, I don't know, connected to Russian Abbey underground, you know.
Mm.
Well, they got down this underground passage, and they were thinking, they came to a place with place was all crumbled down, they couldn't get no further, but they reckoned they were as far as the brewery under.
Really?
Yeah.
On the passage underneath.
So I was telling this fellow, thinking he was taking it in. I looked down his face with blank, and I said, "Oh, is there a village here to get this stop?"
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't realise there was tunnels underneath there.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Mm. And I'll tell you another one. Romsby House is supposed to be connected to Russian Abbey with the monks and all.
Yeah.
With the fort out there, and the fort and the St. Rose. And that spire out there,
yeah.
We always call it a spire. Now somebody went and bloody said it wasn't it wasn't a historic building. It was only built just about the same time as the lighthouse. Well, the lighthouse is say built for 130 years.
Yeah.
And good God, I said to some of the antiquarians, I said, good, and they wouldn't believe me. Well, Mr. So-and-so says it was a heaven tower.
Yeah.
And that's what they call it.
Really?
But the old people always spire. And I said, how would you spell that spire? Well, I said, the difference between a spire and a church and that. See, yeah. the difference. And he said, well, that would mean a soldier on looking out for enemy ships.
Yeah.
And that's what it was for.
Yeah.
And then, if they seen an enemy ship coming, it could be a Scottish one. So in those days. You'd send a runner to the fort,
yeah.
And they would send a runner to Romsway, if it necessary, or he could just straight the thing. But he could get from Romsway underground to the monks of Russian Abbey.
Really?
I've never seen it, mind you, but I'm sure if they dug around there, where I knew what's the entrance, they called it the entrance, and the bushes has grown over it now. I'm sure they dug around there, they'd find it.
Yes, that's in Russian, or out at the fort
here? That's Romsway.
Romsway, the Romsway house.
I was talking about the connection between them and
Russian. Yeah.
And then from Russian to Castle Russian, from Russian Abbey.
Yes.
I believe that, absolutely.
Yes.
And they they've only got the excavating, they find them.
Yes, yeah.
And another thing I found out, and I don't think you would know anything about, I was mucking about. Now, in those days, they had bootleggers, the people bringing in stuff. Quails Bridge House was supposed to be run and things like that.
Contraband,
sorry. Well, and I can prove this, what I'm saying. A fella I told about it, he went to see the harbour boat and said, oh no, it wasn't. But I can trace just the top of the foundation stones of the jetty leaving Romsby, a particular place. I can still trace it, and it goes out towards the breakwater, which is only a mile. It's only built not much over 120 or 30 years, perhaps. 40 years, but it went out that way and then turned and came in towards the crescent. You could trace that breakwater here.
Really?
Mm. And nobody knows, Wally Carter, not Scott, was living over there. I told him, he said he went and made inquiries. Well, the hammer wouldn't know anything about it.
No.
They said that about the jetty out in Fort Anne, there's a man himself that built that. His name, it's called Dodd's Jetty.
Yes.
He built that because, for some reason, this Derby Haven was a farmyard.
Uh-huh.
And that house down there, the farmer was there, his name was Farragut. He had his horse and carts, cattle and pigs lying on the road, you see, and the hens.
Yeah.
And instead of they had to come through that with the visitors to get them in the wagon and whatever they got and bring them to the hotel. And Dad went around there. So to avoid the dirty village, he built a road from Hangaway that way, down that way, and thing, avoiding the village.
Really?
Built it one winter, they built it. The first winter, the bloody thing was washed down, so we had to back up and come this way. So what he did then, And I said, I don't think anybody knows that. I go into these things and I listen to them and remain that way. He had a boat, paddle steamer, little one, carried, I suppose, 20, 30, I don't know how many people. He'd go down to Douglas and take his people out and bring them by sea to Tardis Jetty.
Really?
My old man worked on the jetty. And he always been called Tardis Jetty. Well, this fellow, about one thing, the jetty I suppose I've seen, as you like, over there, he asked them about Tardis Jetty. In those days, people built their own.
Yes.
They never went to the harbour boat. So
no.
I never even asked.
No.
And probably there wouldn't be a harbour boat in.
No, no. Yeah. And this man, Dodd, he kept the hotel out there, did he?
Well, he's the first. No. And I tell you another thing, I do know this for a fact. I was mucking about up on the top of the gymnasium, and it's a concert hall and all, you know, the college. And some bad day, they wanted us to go and play out all the props, you know. And I came across a lovely plaque on my back, and it was in big red letters, and it was in red and white, and even a frame on. And it said, Port Ann Pleasure Ground, swings and one thing and other, like tees and thing.
Yeah.
I thought that was a prop now. So I brought it down to join the shop, but I put it under the bench so that I'd had time out. I made inquiries down here, a fellow called George Looney. And George Looney said, oh yes, he said, he used to work on the gate. One time they shut that road there, and Colonel Moore and his charger went down with half a cattle down and opened it.
Mm.
The first time the cattle and band with other people went and opened it. And George was on the gate. You know the gate to each side there.
Yeah.